Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Matthew with Not Like the Hypocrites. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We were seeing the Lord giving his great teaching session to his disciples. That's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke to them of those who are blessed in the kingdom of the heavens. He said that the disciples are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The Lord claims that he does not abolish the law, but he fulfills it. He compared his teaching with what was said of old in the scriptures. And today we're going on to Matthew chapter 6 to see what else he says in this important teaching session with his disciples. And discussing motivation for good deeds in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, where he says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So he tells them to take heed or watch out that they don't do their charitable deeds before men. And these charitable deeds, this would be righteous acts, or pities, or mercies. Your righteous acts toward men, and we could call them religious externalities. The Companion Bible note says here, all the critical texts read righteousness, referring to all the subjects that follow. But this is conjecture because alms, or charitable deeds, is the first subject, starting in verse 2. Dikaiosune, righteousness, was subsequently substituted for eleemosune, alms, or charitable deeds. So, your righteous acts of charity, in other words. So he tells them to take heed, to be careful that they don't do their righteous acts of charity before men. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to do them in private, or you can't let anybody see you doing them, or you always have to do them anonymously. But this is really talking about motivation. You do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. In other words, the whole reason you're doing these charitable deeds is so that other people can see you doing them and admire you for doing them. He says, don't do your charitable deeds for that purpose. Don't do them for that reason. And so this is talking about your motivation for doing those deeds. If your motivation is just other people to see, well, that's not good. So this is not a rule that you must do your charitable acts in secret or in private. Rather, it's just saying, what is your motivation? Is your motivation just to be seen by them? He says, if you do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, he says, otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So this speaks of the reward. And this is, in fact, the third time he's spoken of the reward in Matthew. We had it back in Matthew 5 and verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And of course, that means with God. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Or Matthew 5:46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So it is a common theme throughout this teaching portion, and really throughout the New Testament, that God has rewards for men who serve him faithfully. And this is always the teaching of the Bible. And I've noted that some people today want to make out that everyone in the life to come has to be exactly the same, receive the exact same things, and have the exact same position, and everything exactly the same, or otherwise they say it couldn't be perfect. Well, I don't know where these people got their idea of perfection from. Karl Marx, maybe, but not from the Word of God. The fact is that God says that he will reward certain people over others who have served him faithfully. God isn't going to reward someone who has been a poor and shoddy follower of his and give them the exact same things as someone who served him faithfully from the heart their whole lives. No. No, there are rewards with God for faithful service. But he says, if you just do your charitable deeds before men in order to be seen by them, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So he says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you. Now, as crazy as it sounds, there were some among the religious elite of the Lord's day who would actually do this. When they were going out to do charitable deeds, they would actually have someone sound a trumpet in front of them to draw attention to what they were doing. That's amazing, isn't it? You talk about blatant. Now he says, those who do this are the hypocrites. And in Greek, that is hypocrites. Pretty much straight where we get our hypocrites from. But it means an actor, a pretender, someone who puts on a mask and acts like something that they're not. That is a hypocrite. And of course, we realize that's exactly what actors in movies or plays or television shows are doing, right? They're acting like they're sad when they're not sad. They're acting like they're happy when they're not happy. They're acting like they're angry with someone when they're not angry with that person. They act like they die and they aren't really dying at all. They act like they're sick and they aren't sick. And so on and so forth. I mean, they're being hypocrites. They're not really, of course, we understand they're just telling a story by their actions. But it's one thing when you're an actor and telling a story. It's another when you're acting in real life. Then you're just an empty pretender. And he says, that's what these people are who are sounding trumpets before them to draw attention to their good deeds. They're just empty pretenders. They don't really care about doing good. They just want glory for themselves. So he says, don't you dare do something like that. Don't sound a trumpet before you like the hypocrites do. And he says, they do this in the synagogues and in the streets. The synagogues are the Jewish community centers, the place where all the people would gather. And he says, these hypocrites are sounding trumpets before them in the synagogues, trying to make out how great they are. And in the streets, like I said, they're on their way to do some charitable deed, and they have to hire a trumpet blower to accompany them so everybody knows what they're doing. He says, they do this that they may have glory from men. Remember, the glory you give a thing is the esteem in which you hold it, the respect you give it, and so forth. So he says, they want the esteem and the respect and the awe and the wonder of these people who are watching them and saying, wow, what good people they are. Well, that's the only reason they're doing these charitable deeds. So he says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what he means is that the glory, the esteem, the respect and admiration of people is all that these people will ever get. In other words, if they imagine that they do these things for glory they get from other people, if they imagine that in time to come, God will be amazed by them and reward them too, well, they're crazy. No, they have already gotten their reward. They did these things to get the respect and admiration of men and the esteem of men, and that's all the reward they're ever going to get. When people see them and actually do esteem them and glorify them, well, that's all the reward they'll ever get. And when he says they have their reward, the Greek means they've received their reward. And Bullinger in the Companion Bible says this is used for formal receipts. In other words, that odd respect and esteem they get from men, that is their formal receipt that they've been paid in full for what they did. And they won't get a penny more of reward or recognition from God. Verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, there's no word for hand here in the Greek. It's just, let not your left be knowing what your right is doing. In other words, do it low-key. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just do some good and charitable deed. And do it so casually and nonchalantly and without drawing attention to yourself. It would be like, if your left side wasn't paying attention, it wouldn't even know your right side was doing a charitable deed. That's how quiet and how nonchalantly you're doing your good deed. Because you're not seeking glory and esteem and respect and honor from other people. Verse 4, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So he says, when you do this quietly, low-key like this, your charitable deed will be done in secret. And secret means hidden or concealed. We might say in the hidden or concealed place. So that people aren't seeing it. You aren't marching the street with a trumpet blower to let everybody know you're doing it. You're doing it, as it were, in secret. Like I said, on the down low, quietly, nonchalantly. He says, you do your charitable deed in secret in the hidden or concealed place. And he says, your Father who sees in the secret or concealed place will himself reward you openly. And openly there means in the open spaces, in the open market, in the well-lit places. Not in some dark back corner, but in the well-lit places in front of everyone, your Father will reward you. Because you did your good deed in secret, in quiet, in the hidden place. So that's how you ought to do it. Do it before God, for Him to see. And keep it quiet from other people. Let God be the one impressed, and not your fellow human beings. Now that's good deeds, but now he talks about how to pray in the same vein. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So he talks about when you pray, when you speak to God. That's what prayer is, right? Talking to God. He says, don't pray like the hypocrites, hypocrites again, the actors, the pretenders, the empty pretenders, the ones who put on a mask to try to pretend to be something they're not. He says, don't pray like those hypocrites. Why? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Well, love here is the philous. It means to be affectionate, a friendship type of love. Here meaning fond or affectionate. They are fond of doing this. They love doing this. And that they're affectionate of it. This is just what they love to do. They wouldn't even enjoy praying unless they were praying this way. Well, how is that? They love to pray standing in the synagogues. Again, the synagogue is the community gathering place. So they love to stand up in front of the entire community and pray. Or they love to pray on the corners of the streets. Now, if you wanted to do something out in the street and have a lot of people see you, well, you could go to a busy street, and then a lot of people passing up and down the street would see you. But the best thing to do would be to go to a street corner at the crossroads of two busy streets. And by standing on the corner where both streets could see you coming up and down the street, why, from four directions people could see you, not just from two, like if you stood on the street but not on a corner. So you find some corner, and then people from four directions on two different busy streets going four different ways can see you praying. So they love to pray standing on the crossroads and in the synagogues where the maximum number of people can see them. But he says, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. So these people too have their receipt. They've been paid in full for what they did, and they will never get a speck more of reward from God. No, the recognition they receive from men is all the reward they'll ever get. He says, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he says, but you, when you pray, and you here in the Greek is singular. Of course, in English, we've gotten rid of all our forms of you except the one, you. I mean, we used to have thou, thee, ye, you. And yet we forgot the thou, the thee, and the ye, and we just turned them all into you. And in fact, we've forgotten it so much that we hear people say, oh, if only we had a plural you. It's too bad we don't have a plural you. And we've forgotten our you form so much that we don't even remember that you is plural. It's the singular you we don't have. And the singular you used to be thou and thee, and the plurals were ye and you. But in the Greek here, it's a singular you, thou in Old English. But it's you, you individually. Not you collectively when you're praying together, but you individually when you pray individually. He says, go into your room, your own private room. And when you shut the door to your private room. So nobody can even see you through the door. And then he says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Or this would be in the hidden place. Of course, if you're in your room with the door shut, you're in the hidden place. Bullinger says this often means a storage place. It's like you go into the storage room and shut the door. And the storage room is a place nobody goes unless they want to get something out of storage, which probably happens now and then, but not very often. It's probably one of the least used rooms is the storage room. And so you go into that storage room, that least used room, to pray. And you shut the door and you pray in that secret place, that storage room. And your Father, who sees, of course, he sees all places, including the secret place, the storage room, the room nobody else goes, he will reward you openly. In the open, like I said, in the open square, or in the well-lit places. So he says, if you just pray to God, with no thought of other people seeing you, in fact, keeping other people from seeing you, then you'll get a future reward. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So here's another important instruction for when you pray. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And vain repetitions mean stammering utterances. Of course, you realize when someone stammers, they repeat a word or part of a word over and over. And they just have trouble getting the sentence out or getting past that word. It's like they get stuck, like a skipping record. And so some of the heathen, when they pray, they would have stammering utterances or repeated words. Now, the heathen here, we think of heathen as those who have backwards religion, the pagans, the polytheists, those who don't believe in the one true God. But the heathen is a pretty questionable translation here. The fact is that the word is ethnos, or the plural of it actually, ethnos, for the nations. These are the men of the nations. In other words, nations other than Israel, those who didn't know Israel's God and the way he likes to be worshipped. What does he mean they would stammer or repeat words when they would pray? Well, it seems that when they would pray, they would repeat a request. They would say things like, if they wanted something, they would say, like, bread, 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 bread. Or say they wanted money. They would say, money, 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 money. And they would think that the God would be more likely to hear them, and they would be more likely to receive it, if they would say what they wanted over and over and over again. Well, why would they do this? Well, they would pray to their God, of course, their imaginary God that they'd made up out of their own heads or that their ancestors had made up out of their own heads. And they would ask things from that God and they wouldn't get them. So they think, well, maybe the God is kind of slow in the head. Maybe it's really hard to get through to him. So I'm going to just make it really, really plain to him so he can't miss it. So you say your request over and over again, food, 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 food. And you say it like 50 or 100 times. And then the God's up there, oh yeah, I have this worshiper, you know, he's a good guy. He worships me and so forth. But what did he want again? I'm trying to remember. Food, 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 food. Oh yeah, I think he wants food. Okay, I'll give him food. And that was the way they would treat their gods. Like I said, they would treat their gods like they were thick in the head. And you needed to really pound on their thick skulls in order to get through to them. But imagine treating the true and living God that way, as if he was thick in the head. Well, if anybody's thick in the head, it's us compared to him. I mean, he is the source of all wisdom and intelligence and knowledge. And if anybody's a bonehead, it's us. And young, ignorant little creatures like us compared to the living God who's been from all eternity. And yet we treat him like he's thick in the head. So he says, don't be like that. Don't use those stammering words and repeated words. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So you're thinking you want to get what you want by pounding it through God's thick head. Well, that's an insult to the living God, because guess what? He knows what's necessary for you before you even ask for it. Now, the Lord's point isn't that you don't even need to ask. No, the Lord wants you to bring your request to Him. He wants to hear what you want. Why? Because He wants an interaction with you. He wants a relationship. He doesn't just want to do everything for you and you ignore Him. No, bring Him your requests. But when you bring Him your requests, don't act like He's stupid. Like the reason maybe you haven't gotten your request up to now is that He's thick in the head. And then you have to say what you want a million times in order for Him to finally get it through His dull brain what you want. No, that's horrible. Don't treat God that way. God is far smarter than you are. Don't insult Him by acting like He's a dullard. Verse 9, in this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. So He says, in this manner pray. So He tells them, you pray like this. And then we have a prayer following that is often called the Lord's Prayer. And you've probably heard of this Lord's Prayer. But really, if you look closely here and look how He says this, really what He's doing here is He's teaching His disciples how to pray. He says to His disciples, you pray like this. So really, this was to be the disciples' prayer. It wasn't the Lord's own prayer. Now, if we wanted to see a Lord's own prayer, that He's prayed on His own behalf to the God, we could look at John chapter 17, as I talked about when He taught through John. That there the Lord is praying His own request, but here He's teaching the disciples how they should pray, not showing them how He prays Himself. Now, many people, when they go to the Bible, they don't go to the Bible to find the God of the Bible and to form a relationship with Him. They go to the Bible to find a religion. And so they go to the Bible, and important to any religion is to find works to do and prayers to pray. And so they'll go to the book of Exodus and find the Ten Commandments, and they don't bother to try to figure out what those Ten Commandments are about. They say, aha, here's some works we can do, the Ten Commandments. And then they go to Matthew chapter 6, and they say, aha, here's a prayer we can pray. And voila, we've got a religion. And so this is a prayer that people will go to and repeat constantly. And in some branches of Christianity, they'll repeat this prayer constantly. They call this the Our Father. And often when somebody goes to confession and confesses some sin, the priest will tell them, well, pray 20 Our Fathers or 50 Our Fathers or something. Okay, and so they'll repeat this prayer over and over again. Well, what happens when they do that? Are they really thinking about the prayer? I mean, how many people, when they pray an Our Father, really think about what it's saying? No, this prayer just becomes for them one of those empty repetitions, those repeated words that the Lord just talked about in verses 7 and 8, repeating them over and over as if this would make God hear them or this make God impressed with them, rather than acting like it's a real relationship with Him where you're really praying. No, the Lord says, pray like this, in this way. Use this as an example. He doesn't say, pray this over and over and over again with some empty repetitions, just like the heathen do, just like the men of the nations do. And people, when they pray like this, they show that they are some of the men of the nations the Lord was talking about, and not the people who really understand and form a real relationship with God. So we shouldn't just emptily repeat this prayer, but we should study this prayer and learn from this prayer and think about what it really means and what it teaches us about how we should pray. And that's what we'll do. But we'll do this in our next program, and we'll look at this disciples' prayer. So in this portion, the Lord says charitable deeds should not be done just to impress other people, but should be done quietly or even secretly. So the Father who sees all secret things will later reward you openly. Prayer, too, should not be done in public places just to impress others, but in a secret place like a storage room, so the Father who sees all secret things will see and reward you openly. In the Lord's Prayer, the Lord is really teaching His disciples how to pray, not praying Himself. We have Him pray on His own behalf in John 17. So let's all look to God for our ultimate reward, and not do our good deeds and pray our prayers for the admiration and appreciation of other people. Let's remember, it's God who's most important.
This wonderful lesson shows the proper attitude God desires from us, the motivations we have for the good we do, and even how we approach prayer must be in line with what God desires, not what we desire, especially if our desires are in any way connected to the praise of men. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Not Like the Hypocrites. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Matthew with The Disciples' Prayer. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program will motivate you to study God's Word more, which will cause you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We offer a free weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. Please visit seedandbread.org. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.